we go. All right, Teeny, I see you.
Wow, she doesn't look well, Jacob. What happened to her?
It does seem that perhaps there was a hangover situation.
Yeah, that's right. Yesterday she is. She wasn't on the schedule to work. She decided she would come into work, but she had had a few drinks, and she said, I hope you don't mind. I'm not going to be at my best, but I'll still be there as a team player.
Everything was fine.
I know. Mm-hmm. And then, Jacob, it's your responsibility.
No, it is not.
Okay. Too much work for you, I guess. All right. Here we go. Five again. All right, I didn't get that little annoying email from you, Jacob, saying, oh, here's some changes.
Yeah, I think we'll just stick with what we got.
Look at you coming up with that idea. All right. Teeny, keep going. Do whatever you're doing over there. You're doing great. All right, so let's see. The topics to get to, which Jacob has decided not to change. Why is it that sometimes you switch them up on us? You just feel there's something better? You haven't talked about it?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm not ready for the other stories. That's the other thing that happens.
Oh, I see. Okay, fine. So then everybody has to suffer. All right. You're only as good as your weakest link, as they say. So a paddle up heist. Police are seeking burglary suspects who used a watercraft. Oh, boy. To reach the Yarrow Point, the great Yarrow Point where all the money is. They know what they're doing. King 5 has a story about how they got the boat.
The waves of Lake Washington have been known to buoy many a watercraft. And this Memorial Day was no exception as a serene crowd soaked in its quiet charm.
Nothing really happens here.
But what its peaceful wake was used for early Thursday morning?
It's not something I would expect from this area.
May surprise you.
You're looking for a yellow and a blue stand-up paddleboard.
As detectives look for answers.
This seems like some sort of like Mission Impossible type thing.
Police say burglars wearing wetsuits paddled up to a home on 95th Avenue Northeast in Yarrow Point.
They're hearing a window breaking and possibly someone inside.
And forced their way through the back glass door of the home north of Bellevue along Lake Washington.
That's crazy.
Hard to believe that someone would target a house like that.
King 5 is working to confirm what was taken from the home. Responding officers suggested over the scanner they took cash.
They took off with approximately $20,000 from this home.
So shocking that people would do such a thing.
You don't see that every day. It's like a full-on heist, basically.
Let me say that those are some of the great sound bites you can get from people standing around.
My thoughts
that's
exactly.
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, what, they used a boat. It's weird. Weird the stuff coming from around here. We wouldn't expect that.
That's crazy. Did they? That's nuts. Yeah. I think I got enough. Thanks. Those are great bites. The $20,000 cash. All right, Detective Elliker. What do you think? What's your theory on this one? Here's some yellow and red string yarn you could use in order to kind of make a weird chart on the wall. What do you
total
think?
Total inside job.
Ah, inside job, huh?
Inside
that's where you go to first,
see?
Huh? Yeah, see? Hey, put out that cigar, see?
Yeah, because how would they know there's cash in the house, see? They'd have to know that,
right.
See?
Yeah, see? Yeah.
They'd have to know it was stashed somewhere, see?
Yeah, I mean, so the question is, who? First of all, there's two questions. Why are we talking like this, see? And then the other one is, it shouldn't be that hard to find these guys, right?
Yeah, huh? See? They got a picture up, see?
Detective Jacob, get on that right away. Huh? Get that young guy out there.
Yeah, I would like to transition to another detective team where we talk normal voices.
This is not an accent. This is an imitation. And right. You wouldn't know who
that
was.
That's how people used to talk back then.
Yeah,
Jake.
See, yeah.
There's a couple of years ago. Sure, see.
Come on,
see?
Jacob. You're too young, see.
Yeah.
I don't know how to engage with this at all. Oh.
People replace C with... what's the new thing? You hear what I'm saying? Or you know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. I had a guy the other day do that to me. He's like, so basically just turn the light off, throw the switch there. That takes electricity, and then you're not going to get shocked. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, I get that. Yeah, so like just that way you won't get shocked, right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not that complicated. Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. That's replaced the word C. Yeah, Jacob Shay.
Yeah, Shay.
Yeah, inside job. Well, we solved that one. That's what I would have said if that King 5 person had asked me. Ah, sounds like an inside job, Shay.
Had to know something, see? You don't just break into a house and find the cash, see?
Oh,
just
yeah,
don't do that. Right.
She had long gowns, big legs. It started right at the hips, ran all the way down to her ankles, see?
Yeah, she was a...
What was that going to be?
Yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. Never mind. Never mind.
I stopped myself.
Good. Good for you, Shay. All right. Yeah, glad we did that story. It's on you, Jake.
Shitty how you wanted me to change that one out. You're hoping.
Excuse me. I don't understand what you're saying. You have to put C at the end of your
sentence. See? I don't know how to do that. I'm not a professional voice person like you guys are.
No, no, no. Just at the end. Anytime you say anything, the last word should be C.
Okay, C.
No, you can't just say C. It has to be an entire sentence, and then you have Shay.
Shay.
So, Jacob, why did you do that story first?
Well, it's a local one, see?
Good enough.
It's local, see? And I thought we had to have at least one of those today, see? That's what you say.
All right, stop.
After all, this is a local show, isn't it, see?
Look at the ratings going through the floor. What's going on? Why is anybody doing it anymore? all right, the debt ceiling. Here's what you need to know about the debt ceiling. $6 trillion of money we didn't have, money we printed, inflated absolutely everything in the world, and then the government took a look at the amount of money that they spent. And then they said, okay, now we're going to have the budget coming up. Let's start from the new baseline, the baseline being the $6 trillion additional dollars we spent. We didn't want to cut any of those programs, even though we were in a big emergency, big pandemic emergency. Just start sending billions and billions of dollars out to states, out to individuals, out to schools. Just fire out the cash. It's like a T-shirt cannon, just shooting cash everywhere you possibly could. And then, oh, the emergency's over as of a couple of weeks ago. Now, there are those that are fiscally responsible saying, okay, whew, all right, done. We're done with that. Now let's bring the numbers back down and let's negotiate from there and then determine how much money we want to spend. What could we spend? We're going to lift the debt ceiling to spend, we're already, what, $30.1 trillion, wherever we are, over. So the Republicans are saying there's a couple things we're going to hold you to. First of all, I want to get rid of your student loan, which is illegal. We want to get rid of that. We want to be also, if somebody is over the age of, up to the age, I think, 54 now, work requirements. So if we're going to be giving you free money, we want you to be either involved in a work training program or to get a job if you're an able-bodied individual. Just a couple of the little things that they want to be able to sort of drop those numbers down on or put them into place, and they're battling back and forth. And now the conservative folks that are hard to the right, they want to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. This guy's doing a crappy job negotiating. Here is your Speaker of the
House. February 1st, sat down with the president. I said, let's work together to be able to raise the debt ceiling but curve the amount of spending, to let America be able to work again, cut red tape, get some work requirements to help people get back into work. I think this agreement frames all that from limit, save, grow. It doesn't get everything everybody wanted, but that's in divided government. That's where we end up. I think it's a very positive bill. I mean, no one thought at any given day that we would be where we are today.
Yeah, well, Chip Roy, Sherry. Mm-hmm. He's not so happy.
Not one Republican should vote for this deal. It is a bad deal. No one sent us here to borrow an additional $4 trillion to get absolutely nothing in return. But at best, if I'm being really generous, a spending freeze for a couple of years. That's it. That's about what you get. And frankly, you're going to make things worse. And my Democratic colleagues know it. That's why they're supporting it. Mm-hmm. That's why they're going around gleeful. Like, there's a reason our Democrat colleagues support this. There's a reason that Mitt Romney supports this. There's a reason that Bill Kristol supports this. It's all the same stuff. There's a reason that our conservative allies are opposing it roundly. The Club for Growth scoring against it. The Heritage Foundation, scoring against it. Freedom Works, scoring against it. Ron DeSantis, publicly opposed. President Trump said he thought we should default rather than pursue this kind of lunacy. At the end of the day, the only person that would default in this town is Joe Biden, unless Republicans default on the American dream by voting for this bad bill.
She?
Yeah, she.
Here's the president.
Mr. President, what do you say to members of your own party who say you've made too many concessions in this deal?
They'll find I didn't.
They'll find I didn't. And our own Representative Jayapal
says, I think it's going to come down to what the legislative text is. I think at the end of the day, though, the American people have to understand that we are at the brink of default. We don't have a deal yet. We're not sure how many Republican votes can be produced. And it is all because Republicans said that they wanted to cut the deficit. And let's be clear that what they got from this was not that. They may have gotten other things. I'm not happy with some of the things I'm hearing about, but they are not cutting the deficit and they are not cutting spending, because if you think about the fact that they've agreed to increase Pentagon spending, number one, they've agreed to increase VA spending, number two, and while there are some fiscal, calculations that are being made around what non-defense discretionary spending is, and by the way, for people that are listening to that, that's a lot of mumbo jumbo. That's basic spending on things like healthcare, education, childcare, all the things you care about is what Republicans want to cut.
All the things that are not constitutionally protected that the federal government should not be involved in. There's not one word written in our Constitution that has the federal government involved in education. Not one word. There is also no place for the federal government to be involved in health care for people that can afford health care. But you want to make sure, Ms. Jayapal wants to make sure, that everyone is completely and absolutely addicted to the federal government. We will feed you. We will educate your children for free if they've got a college loan. We'll just cancel that. We'll also provide you with health care. We'll provide you with everything. You don't have to worry about anything, because don't forget, the rich don't pay their fair share. So we're going to get more money from those filthy, greedy, horrible rich people because they're hoarding all their money. And we'll make sure we take it and we'll spend it better than they will. And we'll provide you with all of these great benefits. The fact that you're not defaulting on that, but you're already bankrupt. You can't bring in a dollar and spend three. How long's that last? Okay.
Well, anything can happen here, because it's just going to take one person to hold this up, right? Uh-huh. So the drop dead date is June 5th. If they can't get the votes, right back to square one. And it doesn't seem like just the idea that the Democrats are okay with it makes you realize the Republicans didn't get half of what they had asked for and what they wanted to. I mean, he really did pretty much cave. Couple of things. There's no changes to Medicaid. They'll fully fund medical care for veterans. The SNAP eligibility requirements, they're raising the age from 50 to 54, and you have to work 20 hours a week. But those eligibility requirements are waived for veterans and the homeless. They won't raise the debt limit for 2 years, and no change this time or at this time for the defense budget.
Yeah. All you have to do is a Democrat say, oh, you want to spend more money on defense, or you spend more money on bombs than we do on teachers or something like that. Hey, that's one of the primary responsibilities of the federal government. Is to defend, right? Clear distinction of borders, defend borders, interstate commerce. Yeah, that's basically what we're all involved in there. You don't want to spend on defense, really? Oh, it's an increase in defense. Now there's cuts and taking up a little bit. You don't believe that China is not in the last 20 years has increased their spending by some 900%? You don't want to support defense? Listen, I know they pay $300 for a wrench or something like that, and the defense military complex where people are spending outrageous amounts of money for defense, but let's have a strong defense, because all the rest of the stuff won't matter if you don't have somebody that's got a gun or a ship or a plane that is able to defend this country. But they will lose on this. The biggest lesson for the Republicans is find somebody that can win and get that person in the White House. You don't have much when you're only one leg of a three-legged stool. So out they go, she.
Will it pass, wow. She? What do you think? Yes or no?
They'll go back and forth. It'll go right up to the end, and yes, then it'll pass. So, they'll cave on this stuff. Okay, Imagine sitting in that room and having to negotiate with that sharp, eagle-eyed guy, Joe Biden. What that must be like.
I wonder how much he really did, or if it was all of his minions around him that were doing the talking.
Good question.
Gosh, oh, great question. That's a great question. That's, I ask myself that every day.
By the way, grab the other cut from our Teacher of the Year. Because her thing about Sherry, also a great question, too. We'll have a whole bunch of those. All right, Andrew?
Oh, man.
She? Oh, man, close she. Enough. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to have to choose the letter of the day. Tini's called in sick, so.
Okay.
It's going to fall upon you there. You write to us. You can become letter of the day. It could be a great honor to you and your whole family. You write to us at mynorthwest.com, or who knows, maybe you come in on that 1-888-973-5476 state roofing text line. All right. Well, looks like they've done it. It's just the beginning where they're going to start weighing passengers and charging people more depending on what they weighed. Air New Zealand is going to weigh passengers before they board the plane. Ugh. Where are the scales? Right there at the gate?
Yeah, and this isn't an ongoing thing. This isn't something they're going to continue to do. What they're trying to figure out is what the average weight is for these international flights. So, for instance, they weigh everything, cargo, meals, luggage, all of that. So this will just be a temporary thing. You'll step on the scale. The scale does not have a readout, so no one can see how much you weigh. It won't say it. It won't show anybody. It's just there. It goes into a computer, and then they can average that out, and that will be what they use later to sort of determine the average weight of some of these flights.
I see. When you do apply or you do buy a plane ticket online, as everybody does nowadays, male or female? You put male. So I forget the number that they expect the average male to weigh, the average female to weigh, and then they make the adjustments on that. And then when it comes to the bags and stuff, because then when it comes to gas and balance and weight and balance restrictions, it is weird. You get on a plane and they'll say, we're going to ask everybody to remain in their assigned seats at takeoff for weight and balance. You're thinking, wow, somebody moves a couple and we won't be able to go off the ground, but they're trying to balance it all out so the plane can take off evenly. Maybe they're just making adjustments as to how much fuel they have to have on board and what their speeds can be as they're carrying more and more weight. Do they show when you step on the thing, does it light up at all? Is it an announcement as to how much the person weighs?
It's not visible to anybody. So anybody that's nervous that there's some airport person or whatever that can see your weight, that doesn't happen. It just goes directly into a computer and then they average them all out. So no one's going to know it. It's not like people behind you where it reads out, 185 or whatever it is. I mean, so I had a friend who gained 75 pounds when she got pregnant, and she went into labor and they wanted to give her an epidural. And her whole family was around, and I guess her husband or whatever, and she didn't want anybody to know how much weight she had gained. So the guy said, how much do you weigh? And she lied. She shaved off like 40 pounds because she couldn't say it in front of everybody. And I was like, well, what if it based the medication on your weight and it didn't work, But she was like, I couldn't say it out loud. It was too much.
She'd take the pain. She'd take the physical pain over the emotional pain of having to give her a real number.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, New York City has passed and added fat to now the special rights, the protected group of people. They've added one more category and to protect them from discrimination. I think it passed. I think four or five votes were against it, but the city council said, yeah, we're all in favor of this. So it was fat acceptance activists that were celebrating. The people that have a problem with it said, well, this is because it opened the city up to a whole bunch of frivolous lawsuits. They did have a stipulation in there that if your job required you to have to be, physically mobile, and if your weight could then hinder you, from performing the job acceptably, then they could, you could be dismissed from the job and that wouldn't be considered. But there's going to be a whole bunch of other categories where the person's going to be able to say, I didn't get the job because they discriminated against me because I was fat. I could tell the way they were looking at me. I heard them make some sort of comment. They didn't do this or didn't do that. So people will say, well, this is it. This is how it begins, that people will start to sue us, because now fat people will be able to say that they were discriminated against. And then a bunch of other activists came out and said to the airline industries, you need to get your act together. This is embarrassing. There's not enough room in the seats. So here's what they've told. They've got a petition going, signature petition. They want a larger bathroom on airplanes. They want the seats to be more accommodating, make bigger seats, and make wider aisles. So the people that are going down the aisle that have trouble going the aisle, just walking regularly, you know, straight ahead, it started turning sideways and kind of crab walking down the aisle of the airplane. Bigger aisles, bigger seats, bigger bathroom. That's the petition. I don't know how many people have signed it, that that's what they're telling the airline industry to do. And then they're also saying to the federal government, get in there and force airlines to accommodate us.
Now, this group of people, these are the heavyset people that want this, or this is just a general request for airlines, you know, just that people just want more leg room, want more roominess in their seats, bigger bathroom. Is it a specific group that's challenging them?
Yes, it's people that are quite overweight. Yeah. Yeah. So I think you called them the heavyset group.
Yeah. Can you still say that?
No.
Then I apologize in advance. I think we all want those things, right? Wouldn't it be a much better experience if you had more room, if the aisles were bigger and you had more room in the bathroom? I don't think that's unreasonable.
Let's see. The seat is large. It's leather. Drinks come whenever you ask for it. I've got no complaints.
That's true. That's true. In your world, everything's just fine.
Yeah. I don't look back there anymore. Nope. And I don't even, I think it was Nicole that was helping with my taxes, or she was doing some of the American Express stuff. And she said, do you know how much you spend on? I said, I don't want to know. I don't want to know what I spend on airline tickets. It is my one big luxury. The fact that my car looks like crap, that the windows don't go down, the AC doesn't work, the windshield wipers, none of that stuff's functioning. And I got a whole bunch of stuff falling apart, right? You know, big concern, I got to drive into Seattle. Oh, will the car make it? Right? I'm 61 years old. Is my car going to make it? But I just, all the money I'm saving by living like a broken down old hobo, right? Then all of a sudden, there I am, just reigning supreme in 1A, Sherry. Life's a balancing act, you know?
I think it's great. It keeps you relaxed and rested for the jobs that you have to do. So it's totally justifiable. It does. I don't blame you a bit. I think it's the best money you could spend. But I do think you need a working car.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a picture of my car, which no one wants to be seen in now, because all the doors are broken except for the driver's side. Oh, that's the car you got in. So the only way to get in the car, you have to get in the trunk and then crawl across to get to like one of the passenger seats.
What about the truck you bought? Where's that?
Oh, Rye took that.
Okay.
That's the other weird thing. As a kid, I didn't just drive my dad's car, but just get your own car, buy your own car. Rye's like, Dad, I'm taking the truck. Like, whoa, take the Xterra. I can't. People will judge me by that.
And did you say they're judging me too?
He's got a date, okay?
Oh, all right.
So take the Xterra. No, because then she has to climb in the driver's seat in order to crawl over to get to the... I said, that's a good... You want a gal like that.
He wants to make a good first impression. Let it take
I'll take a photo of it right now. I'll send it to you.
Okay, all right.
All right. Okay, well, let's see what the listeners have to say. Here comes the mailman now. The mailman singing the mailman song, originally written in 2007.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman.
See that? I hit the post, Sherry.
I'm the mailman.
Good job.
If you didn't know,
I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
He's right to your door, Sherry. It's the mailman. Don't you understand? Okay, here we are. We'll get the letter of the day first. Take care of all the rest. The letter of the day chosen today by Jacob because Tini went home sick. Okay, here we go.
Paddleboard Heist 206 says Robin and Maynard, along with Roy Otis, have a classic, you know what I'm saying, bit. Surely it's floating around somewhere.
Oh, yo, Robin and Maynard. Great DJ comedy team here. 425, you guys had me laughing so hard, my cat is staring at me like I'm crazy. All cats do that, though. But thanks for laughing.
Ellie in Seattle says, Jacob, it's not C, it's she.
Shay,
you want to try it?
That did seem like helpful, but no, I'm okay. Thank you.
Oh, okay, guess you're better than the rest of us. Unicycle Mike, The Money Heist, starring John Curley as the guy who says C after everything, and big hands Sherry Elliker with her big hands, along with co-star Jacob, the boy who doesn't seem to know what's going on, tonight at 3 p.m.
I'm like 30 years old. I don't know why I still... People still write to me like I'm a child.
It's... Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Debt ceiling, 206...
Hold on, you're not 30. You're not like 30.
I am. I'm exactly 30 years old.
You are?
Yeah.
I thought you were like 23.
Okay, so it wasn't just the
anything?
Listeners.
Wow. What did you learn? All right. Go ahead, Sherry.
Debt ceiling 206 says both sides hate it. It must be perfect.
And 206, by the way, most of what we borrow is borrowed from ourselves via the Federal Reserve, and it isn't real debt. Oh, okay.
206 says, in reality, it doesn't make sense to call a government which can print money bankrupt. It seems that neither Democrats nor Republicans know how money works.
Mm-hmm. Wow, these are interesting. 702. There was no budget for stealth technology, but there was $10,000 for toilet seats.
Wade before flying, Sean and Arlington said, I think John's right that we will have flying lazy boys and flying cars before we have a reasonable marketplace for transit.
I don't know if I said that, but thanks, Sean. Matt, 425. In the late 70s, I flew Military Aircraft Command, a flight from East Coast to Germany, and all the passengers and luggage, all the weight on, they all had to be weighed so we could determine the correct amount of fuel and to load the ballast of the plane, Shay.
Yeah, Shay. Jacob in the 253 says, I remember the days when John used to drive a Porsche.
Still have it, just... It's not running. 425. Hey, John, if you'd like to upgrade to a nice, reliable, I've got a 2017 Kia that runs great. It only has a small dent in the rear bumper from a minor accident, but it'll make it to downtown Seattle no problem. Thank you, Mrs. 425. How pathetic.
Okay. That's a nice offer.
No, for her, it's very sweet, very thoughtful, but like people are feeling bad and trying to sell me a Kia, 2017 Kia, but... I shouldn't complain because then people have solutions and maybe I just don't want a solution. Maybe I just want to be held.
I'd go for the solution.
And now for the letter of the day. Wait, she's back. Tini. Now
there you go,
Sherry.
Oh.
That's what she does. Good job, Tini. Way to rally.
Yeah. Wow. Great hungover dedication. I appreciate it. Stu in Burbank said, yeah, I have my assistant go into the airplane lavatory and flush the toilet after I use it.
Letter of the day.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
All right.
No more.
Here we go.
No more.
All right, we got another hour. Let's rally. Okay, all hands in. Ready? Let's make Marconi proud of what we're about to do on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Let's make Marconi proud
of what we're about to do.
One, two, three. Okay.
Shake.